Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning, Apex Online. I am Eddie, and I have the privilege of bringing today's word to you. This is part of our Refuel series, and we're using Psalms as a basis. A thought came to me when they were mentioning the word refuel. It took me back to my college years. I grew up in a country that was known as Rhodesia. I went to the post office college in Salisbury, which is now called Harare in Zimbabwe. I was training to be a telecommunications technician, and I was a biker. As you can see, once a biker, always a biker. Anyway, I had a matchless 500 single-cylinder motorbike, which was my pride and joy. It was black with chrome parts and had a red chrome badge on the petrol tank. When it was clean, it was polished. It was so shiny, you could see your face in it. Anyway, I am digressing a bit away from the point I'm trying to make. When I was away from home, studying in Salisbury, I had to look after my pennies. There were times when I'd look at my fuel tank and know that I was pushing my luck. If the truth be known, I was running on empty. Some would call it on a wing and a prayer. But if I did run out of fuel on a lonely road in Rhodesia, which could have been quite a few miles away from the nearest town, which were very thinly across the country, who knows how long I would have been there. You see, a motorbike with no fuel is just a lump of metal. It may have looked good, but could it? No, it could not do what it was made for. And we are not made to run on empty. We both need physical and spiritual strength if we are to fulfill our purpose. There's a technical saying that some use when they return goods that they've bought, and that is, not fit for purpose. You know, the enemy would just love to see us struggling and running on empty. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So, let's not run on empty. So, pull up and let us fill up. Amen. So today, I want to look at Psalm 100. And first of all, I'll read all five verses. Okay, so, shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people. We sheep, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And that's such a wonderful psalm, so encouraging. Let's just look at that first part. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. The joy that the psalmist is declaring here is that same joy that fills our heart with gladness when we come before our Lord with singing. The joy is not a frivolous type of joy that comes and goes. No, it's a deep-seated joy. The joy of knowing the Lord. And it stays with you, even through the bad times. If you know the joy of the Lord, this will carry you through. We're not promised that life's going to be a bed of roses, but Jesus says he will never leave you or forsake you. The psalmist is declaring this joy to all the earth. I believe that this joy, when coupled with gladness and praise, which the psalmist calls joyful singing, helps us to draw closer to God. Our Heavenly Father is just waiting for us to reach out through his joy that only he can give you. You know, in this case, his joy also brings peace. And when you step into his peace, all your troubles and worries feel so far away. Jesus says, "My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That is in John 14:27. So getting back to Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God." First of all, that statement, "Know that the Lord is God." Is the Lord your God? Do you know the Lord? He is your God. He is our creator and our master. There's a story about a little boy who made a boat, a toy boat, and he really loved that boat. And one day he went down to the local stream to float it. As he put it into the water, he felt so proud, and the stream carried it along. And he followed it downstream. But the water carried it quicker than his little legs could follow. By the time he caught up to it, there was a bigger boy who was holding that boat. And he went up to the bigger boy and said, "That's my boat." And the bigger boy says, "If you want it back, it's going to cost you." So he ran back to his house, got all his money he'd been saving for his holidays, and took it back to that bigger boy who gave him his boat back. And the little boy held that boat up and looked at it and said, "I have made you and I have bought you back for a price. You are mine." I know that this is just a story, but I just want you to think of those last few words. "I have made you and brought you back for a price. You are mine." Another word for bought back is redeemed. And Jesus is our Redeemer. Amen. You know, that's the reason why I'm standing here this morning. I thought I could float on my own, but life streams took me through different ways. And I realized, I came to realize that I need a savior. I was 34 when I gave my heart to the Lord. It was in a back classroom in New Hope. The reason why it was in a back classroom was the roof was blown off the week before in the main hall. But there was Pastor Simon Cameron. And he was preaching to me. He was preaching to everybody, I beg your pardon. And he was preaching on the Titanic. When he got to the part of the Titanic, when they had these warnings. Icebergs ahead, icebergs ahead. He made a point of doing this a few times. And if we did not heed these warnings, we would end up on the rock bottom, sinking. It was then that the Holy Spirit moved me to realize that God was telling me that there were icebergs ahead. Suddenly, for me, if I did not listen to what the pastor was saying, I could suddenly see my past life was pulling me down, just like the Titanic. But God rescued me, and he saved me, and I must admit, he's changed me for the better in an instant. Our God has made us and bought us with a very precious price. And that price was his Son, Jesus. We see in verse 3 today that it was he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. It says in John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The word in Greek, good, is kalos, which also means noble, wholesome, and beautiful. This is why Jesus is so full of kindness, generous, and loving. Just like a shepherd, he guides us and keeps us from harm. He also says that because he is our shepherd, we know his voice. In those days, the shepherds led the sheep from the front. Nowadays, they tend to drive them from the rear using dogs and things. But in those days, the shepherd was so close to the sheep that all he had to do was to call them and they would go, and he would guide them to the green pastures. We see this in Psalm 23 that David wrote, who of course was a shepherd himself. He relates to the fact that the Lord, in this case Jesus, is our shepherd. And his first line opens with the fact that we will want for nothing. He leads us to pastures green. When we allow him to lead us, he sees what and knows what we need. That isn't always the same as what we want. But if we allow him, he will lead us by still waters. This does not mean that we're not going to go through any rough waters or troubled waters, but he will be by your side. It says in Job, as sure as sparks fly upwards, man is born to trouble. But here's the thing. All could be shaking around. But through it all, you can stand. All you have to do is to surrender to God's will. He says, he will anoint your head with oil. For me, that means that when you walk with him, you will be able to carry his anointing. And when you realize that you are a child of God and that he is your heavenly Father, you're actually walking with God through all these things. The Bible says that he has plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to give you harm. We find that in Jeremiah 29, take it from me. His plans are better than all the plans you could ever think of. The psalmist says, even though you walk through the darkest valley, you will fear no evil because his rod and his staff comfort you. By the way, do you know that sheep are foolish, can be foolish, can do foolish things? Sometimes before they're shorn, their hair is so long and heavy that when they go to drink, if they go where the streams are flowing too fast and they put their head down, their hair gets wet and they get pulled into the stream. The good shepherd uses his staff to hook them out again. Fortunately, when we go astray, the Lord has sent us the Holy Spirit to prompt us to get back on the path. There is a saying, the closer you are to the shepherd, the further you are from the wolves. Because of his goodness towards us, it makes you want to do good things for others. John Wesley said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can, ever can. That's a lot of cans. Amen. Going on to verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. If there's anything we can take from this psalm, that it is a psalm of thanksgiving. The psalmist is saying that the password to receive God's grace is thanksgiving. If we want to enter his praise, it is through thanksgiving. Because he first loved us, we can love others. Even when we were at our worst, God still loved us. I'm preaching this today as much to myself as I am to anybody. We all need God's grace. In everything we do, and especially if we want to enter into his courts, it's in this place where we can unlock the different dimensions of God. Things he has promised you, answers to prayer, help in times of trouble, comfort in sorrow, just to mention a few. Nicky Gumbel says, praise, thanksgiving, and worship are the antidote to complaining and grumbling. That's a thought. Going on to verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. It's God's nature to be good. We see it in his word. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Amen. You may say, you're unable to do good work. You can barely look after yourself. And this would probably be true. But with God on your side, 2 + 2 = 3, 4, 5, or any number you can imagine, because it's not your strength we're talking about. It's the strength of God in you. His word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was Paul talking in Philippians 4:13. Did you know that God's love endures forever? For God, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are but a day. Time does not restrict God. One day we will live for Him forever, with Him forever. That is which He started, He is able to complete. Here is the great news. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Imagine if you could look into the future and see in the corridors of time your generation standing there praising God. And you can, because God's said that He is faithful to all generations. And I know if He said it, I believe it. How about you? The greatness of our God does not change. The goodness of our God does not change. The grace of our God does not change. I will end with this. When you use thanksgiving as a filter to look at things in your life, you can see what God can do through you. I'm looking forward to seeing your comments online to see how God has been good to you. There's a song we sing in church just now, and it's called "Take You at Your Word." And the chorus says, "I'll take you at your word. If you said it, I believe it." It is one of those songs that once heard and you get it in your head, you just can't stop singing it. So why don't you take Him at His word? Amen. If this is you, I beg your pardon, you may be saying to yourself, "That's all very well, but I don't know Jesus in that way. He's not my Savior. However, I would like to know Him as my Savior." If this is you, then pray along with me, and then I will lead you into this prayer so that you can know Jesus as your Savior. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. I wish to know You as my Savior. I believe You died for me on that cross. Please forgive me of my sins and come and live inside my heart. I want to know You more and learn to live the life that You intended me to. Amen.